of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you'll bless our coming together tonight. We pray, Lord, you'll lead us in our worship, and Lord, that we might know a sense of thy presence. Come and help us, we pray, and pour out your Spirit upon us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Hymn number 366, our opening hymn tonight, 366, I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame. Nothing satisfying there I found, but to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. 366, we'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's come again to the Lord, please, in a word of prayer. Let's ask for his help and his presence with us tonight. Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the one who is the water of life. We thank the Lord tonight that you come and you, Lord, give water to thirsty souls. We thank the Lord for each one in this meeting tonight. We praise thee, O God, for that time in the heart sword of those thine own people. Lord, when we came, realized, Lord, how helpless we were. And yet, O God, we thank thee that in Christ we found all that we needed. We thank thee, Lord, that in him we found a sufficient, satisfying Savior. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the knowledge of sins forgiven. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that you've turned our darkness into glorious day. Lord, you turned the night of our sin, Lord, into the day of a brighter future with Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that as the gospel goes forth, we pray, Lord, that you'd be pleased to speak to those still held in the darkness of their sin, Lord, still far from thee, without hope in this world. Oh God, we pray that tonight you'll come and speak to hearts, Lord, that you'd be pleased to do a new thing, Lord, that tonight you'd save the lost. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight you'll snatch, Lord, a sinner out of the jaws of hell tonight. Oh God, we pray that they might escape from the wrath of God, that they might run to thee tonight. Oh God, we thank thee that in Christ there is that refuge for sin. We praise thee, Lord, that in the Savior tonight there is still plenteous grace and mercy. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight someone will come to thee. And Lord, at the foot of the old rugged cross, lay down their burden of sin and find peace with God. Lord, speak, O God, we pray tonight. Lord, work in, Lord, this meeting, we pray. We ask, O God, that again you'll remember this community in this area. O God, we cry unto thee tonight for Ballyhackamore. We cry unto thee tonight for East Belfast. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll turn so many, Lord, who have no thought or time after thee, Lord, concerned about, Lord, their own physical existence, yet have no concern about their soul. O God, turn many to thyself, we pray. Lord, where there is no concern, put a concern. Lord, where there is complacency and ease, O God, we pray that you'll put a concern. And Lord, we pray that tonight, even someone passing by, Lord, that they'll be drawn through the doors of this church. And Lord, most of all, drawn to thyself. We pray, Lord, you'll bless in this meeting. Remember Peter as he ministered to us in song. We thank thee for him. Encourage him, we pray tonight. And Lord, we pray that you'll use him richly in the service of the Master. And Lord, may he know great help from heaven, even as he would sing to us this evening. Lord, the pieces that he would sing will be used of God to speak, Lord, to every heart. We pray, Lord, you'll bless the going forth of the Word of God across our city tonight. We pray, Lord, you'll be mindful of our capital city. O God, turn us, we pray. Cause thy face to shine once again. Lord, there is so much sin. Lord, there is so much evil and wickedness, Lord, in every sight. O God, raise that standard for truth and for righteousness. And Lord, we pray, even as we consider it this morning, help us, Lord, to be Elishas of this day and generation. Lord, help us to have that confidence in the promises of God. Help us, Lord, to dig our ditches in preparation for the blessing, Lord, you're going to bestow upon us. And Lord, we look to thee tonight. Come, O God, we pray, pour out your Spirit in the most remarkable way. And Heavenly Father, we ask, O God, that through everything that would take place in this house and in every gospel preaching house across our land and across our nation, Lord, that there will be signs to follow the preaching of thy word. We pray, Lord, you'll remember, Lord, those who are serving thee in far-off lands. Remember, Lord, those who are on mission fields tonight. Encourage them, bless them. We ask, O God, that you'll just encourage them, O God, we pray. Remember, Lord, the persecuted church. Remember, Lord, those who do not have the freedoms and liberties as we have. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll just encourage them, bless them, and strengthen them in their faith. And Lord, we pray that you'll overthrow, Lord, evil and wicked rulers. Remember the people of God in Ukraine tonight. Remember the people of God in Russia. Lord, under such a harsh regime, Lord, we pray, be merciful to them. And Lord, we pray that even in those lands, Lord, send a mighty move of God. So hear and answer prayer. Come upon us, O God. Pour out your Spirit upon us in a great way. And Lord, we will be careful to give thee all the praise and all of the glory. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Now this evening, we are delighted to welcome back to Sandown our good friend. We all know and love Peter very well. We're glad to have you, Peter. Thank you for coming. He's with a new instrument tonight, but I'll let him explain that story. Peter, you're welcome. The Lord bless you as you come and sing to us. Thank you.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for the skies turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden is getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining. There's no tears to dim these eyes. At the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds the future.
Thank you, Reverend Wilson. It is always great to come back down to Sandown. And although you're probably starting to think, I seen you last month, I'm starting to get sick of looking at your face. But you blame your minister, not me. But it is great to be here. And that song came back into my head this week, because this week I had plans. I had the work lined up in the diary where I was going. And then things happened wrong. I ended up back in A&E for a couple of days, not staying over, but over there because of suspected blood clot back again from my COVID spout. Then my car happened to decide he didn't want to play ball this week. So mechanical issues on my car, hence why I'm in my mother's car tonight. And I couldn't get a piano in that. So I'm on an accordion, which I haven't played in 5 or 6 even longer years. But that doesn't make a big deal, because we don't know about our future. We don't know what's happening. But I'm thankful I know who holds my future. I'm thankful that I became a Christian at an early age. But I know where I'm going tomorrow, or even tonight, even the next 5 minutes, if that's what the Lord wants. But what about you? Do you know who holds your future? Do you know who holds your hand? As this song says, I've no regrets that I became a Christian.
I've no regrets that I said yes to Jesus. And when he called, I answered him that day. I've no regrets that I became a Christian and turned from sin and walked the narrow way. No regrets, no regrets, no regrets, no regrets. For the cup of life is filled up to the brim. Sweet peace of mind and joy that can't be measured. I've no regrets. regrets, I choose to follow Him. I've no regrets, I suffered some for Jesus. I've known some pain and wept some bitter tears. I've no regrets for Him and how He has led me to trust His will. Relieves my doubts and fears. No regrets, no regrets, no regrets, no regrets. And I've no regrets, and how He's left my companion to start and live my life for things above. I've no regrets that I am serving Jesus. To me His friendship is my great reward. No regrets, no regrets. No regrets, no regrets. It's been heaven just to walk with Him each day. Beside Him face to face, I soon shall see Him. All my doubts and fears will be washed away. No regrets, no regrets, no regrets, I've no regrets.
Thank you very much this evening for your help in the meeting. I'm glad to have you, and we'll hear from you in just a little moment's time as well. He can handle an accordion rightly too. Willie McRae only thinks he can play an accordion. Ezekiel chapter 33, please, tonight. Glad to have you, Peter, and blessed by your ministry. Ezekiel 33. Come to the Word of God, the reading of it just now. And then we'll bring some announcements, and then we'll get Peter back to sing for us. But let's read together tonight from Ezekiel, the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses, please. Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm going to speak this evening on the subject of sounding the gospel alarm. Let's hear the word of God. First of all, this evening, Ezekiel 33, verse 1, it says, "And again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sound come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and they take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. See thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore shalt thou hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from it, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. In the Savior's name, we welcome you to our gospel service tonight. We're glad to see you, each one, in the house of the Lord. And in the Savior's name, we're glad that you're here and give you that very warm, sincere word of welcome this evening to our meeting in Sandown. You're visiting with us, then we extend to you that very special welcome. Trust that you feel at home amongst us here and feel the warmth of our welcome this evening. Can I just bring before you some announcements at this stage? We have on Tuesday night our Bible study and prayer meeting as we continue on with our Bible study course, Living Godly in a Godless World. We're coming to the end of that course, and Tuesday night we're going to look at the subject of the warfare of the godly. So I trust you'll be able to join with us Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, for that time of study around the Word of God and then a season of prayer. Then on Friday night, we have our open air at the 1st of July parade, and we're meeting at the Bloomfield Road roundabout where we've met in the past last year. And do remember that, please, at 7 o'clock we'll meet next Friday night for that open air. And if you can come, join with us for that time. There'll also be an opportunity for tract distribution as well. And if you can come as a part of the gospel witness, we certainly would appreciate your help and your support to stand there in the open air. Services, the normal times, next Lord's Day. You'll know all the Sunday schools and Bible classes are off now over the summer months, but the two main services, 11:30 and 6:30, and both of those services are preceded by the half hour of prayer. And then next Sunday evening as well, there'll be an open air after the gospel service. Do continue to remember those who need our prayers. Remember those who are in the hospital. Let's remember them faithfully, as I know you have been, and pray that the Lord will draw near to them, touch them, and that very soon they'll be able to be back home again and know a better measure of health and strength. The latest newsletter from our missionary council providing the update for this month of all the missionary works are available. Take this little newsletter with you, and it'll be bringing you up to date with all the various works of our missionary council. Please do take that and be informed as to the various missionary endeavours. Remember, offering boxes are available there as you leave for your tithes and for your offerings. These are, as always, made subject to the will of the Lord. I'm going to ask Peter to come and sing for us again, please. Thank you, Peter.
If I could share my heart for just one moment, I would tell you how much Jesus means to me, and the joy that overflows from the depth of my soul, just knowing that I have been redeemed. don't deserve the mercy I've been given, that came with great expense on Calvary. When the weight of my sin was placed upon him, as the Lamb of God laid down his life for me. All the cost of the cross, the price my Savior paid, all the blood that was shed, from the riches of his grace, may I never forget the debt my sin cost, live forever grateful for the cost of the cross. I cannot comprehend the love of Jesus and the length that he went through to save my soul. To think the Father was pleased to punish him, yet pardon me. I owe my life to Christ and Christ alone. All the cost of the cross, the price my Savior paid, shed from the riches of his grace, may I never forget the debt my sin cost, live forever grateful for the cost of the cross. May I never forget debt my sin cost, live forever grateful for the cost of the cross. I got up on Sunday morning, went to the church at 10. I listened to the words I've heard time and time again. The preacher spoke of sinful lives, it seemed he spoke of mine. But I was young, I had plenty of time. Plenty of time to decide where I'm bound, to eternal darkness or to a heavenly crown. I'm just a young man, not yet in my prime, so I'll just wait, I've got plenty of time. I walked on down life's pathway, living as I wish to live, how to be other fellow, how to get what life could give. Making money is not sinful, having fun is not a crime, so I'll just wait, I've got plenty of time. plenty of time to decide where I'm bound, to eternal darkness or to a heavenly crown. I'm just a young man, not yet in my prime, so I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. Before I knew what had happened, life seems had passed away. A million stood before God's throne, for it was judgment day. Now eternal darkness beckons, and the name it calls is mine. But I thought I had plenty of time. Eternity waits, I've got plenty of time to think of all the days Christ could have been mine. My chance is over, earth's days are left behind, and here am I, I've got plenty of time. Now I've got nothing but plenty of time.
Peter, thank you for being with us tonight. Really appreciate your help and your ministry here. Plenty of time. And that's maybe what you're thinking tonight. You've plenty of time. But you don't. The only time you have is now. And as the Lord calls, then you need to come to Him. You need to come to Him now. Heed those words that you've heard in song tonight. Heed the call, the command from. In the gospel, we want to look at the subject of sounding. The gospel alarm. Sounding. The gospel alarm. Let's just seek God's face, please, in word of prayer as we come to His word for tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee already for Thy presence with us. We thank the Lord for help given tonight to Peter in the ministry of song. We pray, Lord, You'll encourage him. Keep Your hand upon him for good. Continue, Lord, to touch him in his body, we pray. And bless him, Lord, as he seeks to serve Thee. And Lord, we pray You'll remember him and his dear wife and family at this time. But, O God, we pray that just now as we come to the Word, Lord, as we come to the Gospel for tonight, we pray, Lord, that tonight You'll speak. Lord, that You'll take Thy Word and apply it by Thy Spirit to the hearts of each one. Lord, to those in this meeting, upstairs, downstairs, to those watching online, Lord, speak, we pray, to every heart. And Lord, we pray that tonight there will be business done in every heart and in every life. And Lord, that we will be very conscious that God is here. Lord, we pray, save someone tonight, we pray. Those who think they have plenty of time. Oh God, we pray that they might realize tonight that the only time they have is now. And therefore now may they call upon the Lord. So hear and answer prayer. Be with us now. Give us help to preach. Give us help to hear. And glorify Thy Son. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. In 1969, in a very well-to-do place known as Pass Christian in the state of Mississippi in America, a group of people gathered for what they called and what they described as a hurricane party. You see, a hurricane named Camille had been forecast to hit that particular area in the next number of hours. Yet those people who lived in very upmarket apartments close to the beach, they believed that they could withstand the hurricane. And they wanted to party the night away, even in the face of danger. The local police were alerted to this hurricane party, as it was described. And immediately a police car was dispatched to the beachside apartments to try to get the people to leave their homes and get to a place of safety away from the path of the hurricane. When the police car arrived at these apartments, they couldn't access the building. And so a police officer went round to the front of the building, and from the beach he shouted up to those who were partying outside on the balconies. They were partying so hard that they didn't hear the policeman call. But eventually someone noticed this policeman standing down, seeking to warn the people. By this stage, the party was in full swing. And eventually someone came out. And looking down from the balcony at the policeman down on the beach, seeking to warn them, and the policeman yelled up to them and said, "You need to clear this area immediately. You need to get away from this area straight away because the storm is getting worse. It has now been upgraded, and you are right in the very pathway of the storm, and it's going to hit very soon." Another man came and joined one of the other revelers on the balcony. And he shouted down to the policeman, he said, "This is my land. And I'll do what I want on my land, and I'll party all the night if I want to. And if you want to take me off my land, you're going to have to arrest me." Sadly, the police officer who tried to warn the people about the great danger they were in, he wasn't able to persuade the people to leave. And despite his efforts, the people stayed. They had been warned, but they had no intention of leaving. And just over 3 hours later, the storm hit as it was forecast to hit. And the scientists clocked Camille's wind at more than 205 miles per hour as it hit land in that place called Pass Christian. It was said that raindrops hit with the force of bullets, and waves hit the Gulf Coast with ferocious power that night. As the storm passed and the news reports came in, it was reported that the worst damage came at a little area known as Pass Christian. At the very place where these people were having this hurricane party. And the news reports gave the account that those apartments which stood so very tall and strong just a matter of hours before were now decimated. Nothing was left but the foundations of the homes. And it was recorded that 23 people in that one block of apartments lost their lives as the hurricane hit. Speaking of the area where the apartments stood, one news report said this: "This is where 23 people laughed in the face of danger. And in the face of death. But this is the same place where 23 people lost their lives." You see, they had been warned. The sound of the alarm had been raised, but that warning was ignored. They laughed in the face of danger. And they lost their lives and they perished as the hurricane unleashed its power. Well, they believed they could withstand the storm, but they were not able to do so. And sadly, they died. This evening in the gospel, I want to sound the gospel alarm. And as I do so, I want us to consider the words of verse 11 particularly, which is a sounding alarm, a gospel alarm, warning the people of Ezekiel's day to flee from the hurricane of the wrath of God. The opening parts of this chapter has been dealing with the watchman, the roles and the responsibilities of the watchman. And you will see that in verse number 7, one of the responsibilities was that they were to warn the people. Verse 7 says, "See thou, O son of man, I have set thee as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." There was the word of warning. Then he goes on and gives what that word was to be. In verse 11 he says, "Say unto them." Say unto them. Here is an appeal to the ungodly. Here is an appeal to those who are rebellious, hard-hearted. And maybe this evening, as you sit in this gospel meeting, while you may not acknowledge it or want to admit it, you are just like those people there in that those apartments in the Gulf Coast of America who laughed in the face of danger. And tonight, as the gospel goes forth, very simply, very plainly, I trust, may you not tonight laugh in the face of danger, but rather tonight might you run and flee from the danger that you are in. Very simply, I want us to notice some things here in verse 11 about what the Lord says about His gospel, what the warning is to souls tonight. Notice, first of all, there is the concern of God. Verse 11 says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You see, as we read in verse number 10, there was this perception that God was somehow happy and delighted and glad about those who perished in their sin. And they were essentially charging God of being uncaring, inconsiderate, without compassion and without love. That He didn't seem to care for their plight. He thought that God would be glad to damn them for their sin. You say then, how should we live? In verse 10, how should we then live? He's not really interested in us. He doesn't really show any concern toward us. And you know, tonight man still is the same. Man thinks tonight that God is not interested in this world of sin, or is not interested in them, that God is some meaningless irrelevance to so many. God, you see, in this generation, just as in Ezekiel's generation, charged God with being remote and uncaring. And as we thought this morning, when natural disasters come, who is the first to get the blame? It's God. The finger of blame is always pointed to God. Where is your God of love? This statement is a repetition of a statement that is made over in Ezekiel chapter 18 in the verse 23. He says, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" You see, the Lord knows exactly the horrors and the terrors of His wrath upon the ungodly. And the Lord is answering these wrong notions and perceptions that there is about Him. And maybe tonight you think, is God really interested in me? How do I know God is interested in me? How do I know that God is concerned about me? I'll tell you how I know. because he sent his Son into this world to save you from your sin. And whenever you hear that charge, where is the God of love? You point them to the cross. You point men and women to Calvary, because Calvary is and was and always will be the greatest demonstration of the love of God. God did not have to send his Son to be our Savior. When Adam plunged all of mankind into sin, God was under no obligation to promise the Redeemer in Genesis 3:15. But because he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, he provided a way whereby the sinner could be redeemed and the sinner could be saved. That's why he says here in Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have no pleasure in the death of those who die in their sin, because God knows the horrors of a lost eternity. And sinner in this meeting tonight, he knows what awaits you if you die in your sin, the unimaginable pains and pangs of hell, the suffering that awaits you. Because remember, it's God's hell. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. He knows all about it. And so he takes no pleasure in those who are lost there. Oh yes, his justice demands it be so. If there is no repentance, if there is no saving faith, then his justice must be executed. Otherwise, he would not be God. But at the same time, he takes no pleasure in executing that judgment. No sense of warped pleasure in damning souls. God takes no pleasure in the damnation of the wicked. But he takes pleasure in the salvation of the sinner. How do I know that? Not only does he repeat it here in Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But remember another Old Testament prophet, great evangelical prophet Isaiah. In that tremendous chapter 53, that chapter that speaks all about the cross, and that verse, as I know I've said in the past, that we will never get our heads around this side of eternity, where the Lord said, it pleased the Lord to bruise. How do I know that the Lord takes no pleasure in the wicked? Because it pleased the Lord to bruise his Son, that you and I, wicked, sinful sinners, might be saved. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But notice his concern. It pleased Almighty God to bruise his Son at Calvary, to put him to grief, to make his soul an offering for sin. And as we have spoken on that verse in the past, it's not that God had some sort of warped pleasure. Nobody took pleasure in mercy. And he knew the only way, sinner, that you could be saved was through the death of his Son. There's no other way that the justice for your sin could ever be satisfied but through Jesus Christ. And that's why we read, pleased the Lord to bruise his Son, because he knew there was no other way but Calvary. Your sins can only be forgiven tonight through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Another Old Testament prophet, Micah, in verse 7 and 18, he says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? and retaineth not his anger forever, but delighteth in mercy. Delighteth in mercy. Oh, that tonight we, especially if you're saved tonight, that you would get this reality into your mind. The mercy of God brings pleasure to God. The fact that he would send his Son to be our Savior brought pleasure to Almighty God. Remember, we who had turned our backs on God, we had no interest or thought toward God, but he delighted in mercy because he provided his Son in salvation. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he takes pleasure in the salvation of the lost. What a wonderful gospel we have tonight. What a wonderful story and what a wonderful message we have to bring about the mercy of God. Based then on the concern of God, let's look further at this alarm being sounded, because there is now the command from God. In many ways, this is a continuation of what we've just been looking at. Based on the mercy of God, based on the good pleasure of God, what is the wicked to do? Verse 11, turn ye from your evil ways. You see, because God is tender and merciful, he pleads with the sinner. He says, I have no pleasure in your death, but I have pleasure when you turn from your sin, when you repent of your sin. Here we see the heart of God laid bare again. God is pleased when a sinner abandons their sin. God is pleased. And as you know, there's rejoicing in heaven when a sinner leaves their sin and by faith receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so he issues this command, turn ye from your evil ways. It's a double invitation, turn. Very same thought in that great gospel word, repent. That's what repentance is. It's turning from your sin. It's turning to Jesus Christ. It's leaving where you are in your sin and coming to Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord tonight is warning you, sinner, you're on the wrong way. The Lord is saying to you tonight, you're on the path that leads to destruction. And you need to turn. And you need to get on the right way. And that's why he says, turn ye from your evil ways. This is not a take it or leave it situation. He's not saying, I've set out the scenario here. You do as you please then. He says, no, sinner, turn, plead. And I know sometimes people get very hot under the collar whenever you tell sinners they have to turn from sin. I don't care what your theology might be. The Bible clearly tells us that if we're going to be faithful as watchmen, we need to plead with sinners to turn from sin. We need to urge them to get right with God. Sinner, turn, not for the good of your health, but for the eternal welfare of your never-dying soul. If you're going to ever be in heaven, then you need to turn. If you're ever going to escape the flames of God, if you're ever going to escape the wrath of God, then you need to turn and experience God's mercy. You see, tonight, your eternal destiny depends on this. Where you will be when this life is over depends on what you do with the mercy and the grace of God that He has given to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Peter sang this evening about the judgment. And as you stand before God, you will be judged not on what you've done for this world. You will be judged not according to all your charitable good works. You will be judged on what you have done with Christ. Have you obeyed the command to turn? Oh, that tonight you would. Oh, that tonight you'd run from your sin and get to Christ. Turn ye from your evil ways. You see, as you turn from your sin, there's something you have to do. You have to acknowledge that you are a sinner before God. And as I've pointed out in the past, that's where so many fall down. That's where so many stumble. Well, I'm not a sinner. I mightn't just be the best person, but I wouldn't call myself a sinner. The Bible tells us that all have sinned. And if we're turning from our sin, there's got to be a realization that we are a sinner. Do you realize tonight just how wicked you are before God? In this command, there's a glorious invitation, turn ye, turn ye. He's saying to you tonight, come. Come. Come and experience God's mercy. Come and experience God's grace. Come and experience forgiveness for sins. Come to Him tonight. That great gospel word, simple gospel word, come. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As God said to Noah, come thou and all thy family into the ark. Will you come tonight? There is the concern of God. There is the command of God from God. But finally, there is the calamity of rejecting God. Look at verse 11 again. For why will you die? And the death here that is spoken of is not simply physical death. We will all experience that. It's eternal death. It's dying, but it's even worse than that. It's dying having rejected God's grace and mercy. It's having died in your sins. Died without Christ. What a calamity tonight. Not only death, but death without hope. Not only death, but death with no hope beyond the grave. Death with no repentance. Death with no salvation. In John 8, Christ has been dealing with the Pharisees and declaring to Himself to be the light of the world and to be the Son of God. And He speaks about returning back to His Father. And He says to them in verse 21, I might preach on it sometime, I go my way and ye shall seek me. Shall die in your sins. And whether I go, ye cannot come. You shall die in your sins. That's the calamity tonight of rejecting Jesus Christ. No hope in this life, but worse than that, no hope in the life yet to be lived. Dying in your sins, and now heaven barred, and shut out of heaven, and shut into the eternal torment of hell for all eternity. Why will you die? Can you not hear the pleading voice of the Lord tonight? He says, I've provided a way of salvation. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I sent my Son to die on the cross in your place. I have no pleasure. Therefore, why will you die? Why will you reject my mercy? Why will you reject my grace? What a solemn thought tonight about dying without Christ. Going to a lost eternity. And as Peter was singing, maybe thinking tonight you have plenty of time. I dare say tonight you think, yeah, I need to be saved. I need to get right with God. But maybe you're saying, I don't need it tonight. And you think you've got plenty of time. But the only time you have is now. Therefore, while he pleads and calls, come to him. Tonight he pleads with your soul. He appeals to you. He calls. He says, I've made provision. I've made a way whereby your sins can be forgiven. I've made a way whereby you can be with me in heaven for all eternity. Therefore, why will you die in your sins? He offers all this to you. Why? Will you go to a lost eternity? God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Therefore, he says to you tonight, sinner, turn ye. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die? Or will you come to Christ tonight? May you not be like those Mississippi all those years ago who laughed in the face of danger, refused to obey and to heed the alarm that was raised, and lost their lives. Oh, that tonight you'd come to Christ, that you'd be ready, that tonight you'd be saved. Let's bow in prayer.